You ought to have that verse marked in your Bible. That's an important verse of Scripture. Let me just make a comment or two about that verse. Can I? Therefore, if any man or any person be in Christ, he is a new creature or a new creation. What does that mean? It means that if we're in Christ, how did we get in Christ? We got in Christ by when we accepted Him as our Savior. The Holy Spirit takes us as a believer and puts us in Christ. That's called, biblically speaking, being baptized of the Holy Spirit. A lot of people get that wrong. But 1 Corinthians also explains that, and we don't have time to get into that. But the Holy Spirit takes each new believer and puts them in Christ. That's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's how you get in Christ. That's because you're a new person now. And you've been given eternal life, and you are now saved forever. And don't you let anybody ever tell you any different. You've been given eternal life. God don't put you on probation when you get saved to see if you hold out. The Bible says God holds us. We don't hold Him. Amen. Now let me read the rest of that verse. Look at that verse in your Bible. Therefore, if any person or any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. You're no longer your same self. Listen to me. You are now a son or a daughter of God. You're now put in God's family by the Holy Spirit. You're a new person now. You're in a position now you can serve God. You can't serve God till you get in Christ. Now you're in a position to start earning rewards. I've told y'all before, God gives you salvation. But if you're going to get any rewards when you get to heaven, you got to earn them by the way you live down here. Amen? Brother Chaffer says, I'm going to have to tow the wheelbarrow for all his. Amen? Amen. Look, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Your sins, all of them, God don't remember them no more. How about that? That ought to make somebody shout. Amen. Listen, God don't remember our sins anymore. When we get to the judgment seat of Christ, sin's not going to be discussed with us, because Christ has already paid for all of them. Amen? What's going to be discussed with us is, how faithful have I served the Lord? Did I go to prayer meeting? Amen? Okay. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new person now. I'm a Christian. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God, if you're a female. Amen? So understand that verse, what it's saying. And it's saying to every believer, you're a new person now. And the moment you die, you're going to have a heavenly body, and you're still going to be you forever. You're not going to be somebody different. You're not going to be a fairy or something else. You're going to be you. But you just won't have any faults then, amen, or shortcomings. Now, we still live in our sinful body even right now. That's the reason Romans chapter 6 is so important. You got to learn how to talk, how to conduct yourself, how to make your body obey you. And that is no easy task. That's the reason you need to be in the Bible, in a Bible church, praying, reading your Bible. And it's a battle, because now the devil's going to be against you. Now he's going to be waging war against you. Okay, turn to... Where's my man going to cut the book? Have you already cut it on? Now for my sermon. Turn to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Amen. Thank you, Brother Member Junior, for being on the ball. At least he's on the ball. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 1. I'm going to be talking with you today about this subject, the mystery of life. Have you got it figured out yet? Have you got life figured out yet? I doubt it. I struck 80 recently. I hadn't got it figured out. In fact, the more I learn, the more I realize I don't know. Amen? Amen. And in Jeremiah chapter 1 in your Bible, again, I'm talking about the mysteries of life. People being born. People living. Dying. Generation after generation after generation. When I was a young boy going over to the church I grew up at, there was one family, and that family living in that same house was five generations of people. That's awesome to think about. There was five generations of people in that same house living together. I think three of them has already died, and two's left that was in that. But generation after generation of people come and go. People come into this world as a little baby. Did you know you used to be a baby? Now, I remember my baby there when I used to hold her in my hand like that. She was so little. But you were a little baby too one day. You used to live in your mother's womb. You ever think about that? Every one of us. But you know what? In a few short years, you go from that little baby. That little girl standing here a while ago, when I was about that size, I was holding a plow handle, plowing a mule. And it don't seem like that's been that long ago. Life, once you get a little bit of age on you, suddenly flies by. We're not going to be in this world long, folks. We come here as a little baby, helpless, but we get to where we can walk and talk, life really flies. I heard on the news this week where in our country we needed 90,000 more children to be born than we had born. The birth rate has fell off that much. Many of them are being killed in their mother's womb and they're not being born. But for our population growth and for jobs to be taken care of, we lack 90,000 new births in our country. About 2,600 years ago, the prophet Jeremiah said in Jeremiah chapter 1, look down at verse 4 and 5. And remember, I'm talking about the mystery of life. Before I formed thee, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Think about that statement. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Sanctified means set apart, folks, if you don't understand that big 88-cent word. And I ordained thee a prophet. Ordained means this is my plan for your life. in other words. Unto the nations, God said to Jeremiah when he was a young man, about 17 years old, Bible scholars tell us. I was listening to a preacher the other night, and he made this comment about our time in our mother's womb. And I thought about Jeremiah the prophet. When he made that statement, my mind went to Jeremiah the prophet and to that verse, those verses of Scripture there. God said to Jeremiah, before I even formed you. I want y'all to get this morning. God said, before I ever made you or formed you in your mother's womb, I already knew all about you. Now that's awesome, isn't it? God knows all about every one of us, and he knew it before he even made the universe. That's how awesome God is, folks. This is the one you're going to have to stand before one day, and me too, no matter who we are. The one that there's no secrets with. God has in this verse, God says to Jeremiah, before you even came out of your mother's womb, I had already ordained what I wanted you to do. And I don't want y'all to miss this. You're no different. You're no different. God's plan was for Jeremiah to be a prophet. Well, he didn't want you to be a prophet because we don't have prophets today. That office ended in the first century when the present prophets then all died out. That office has ceased to be. God has ministers and pastors and teachers and evangelists and missionaries today. No prophets and no apostles today, according to the Bible. God's said to Jeremiah, I got a plan for your life. God's got a plan for your life, every one of you. That little girl came here. God's got a plan for her life. She don't know it. And if she's like most of us in here, she could miss it. Listen to me today. God's got a special plan for every one of you. God's got a special plan. God and his sovereignty determines where we are born at, to whom we are born. Think about that. He determines what sex we are. We're living in the 21st century, and we got this crowd that don't know what sex they are. Folks, there's no third sex. I don't care what PhD tells you there is, there ain't. There's only male and female. God determined what talents we have, what abilities we have. It'd be bad if every one of us was a cook, wouldn't it? God knows all about us before we are even born. He's got a plan for our life, and it's the best plan. It's the best plan. A new study shows that unborn babies are listening to their mother's talk during the last 10 weeks of their pregnancy, and at birth can demonstrate what they've heard. That's what a study shows. At roughly 9 weeks, little indentations in the baby's neck appear as the ears continue to form on both the inside and the outside. At 18 weeks of the pregnancy, the little one hears their very first sounds. By 24 weeks, their little ears are rapidly developing. A baby in the womb does not know anything about what is outside of the womb. It's just cuddled there, forming, developing. It doesn't know a thing about what's going on around it. You know, that's kind of like heaven, ain't it? You don't know much about what's going on in heaven. You might be an intelligent person, but you don't know much, because this Bible don't tell you much about heaven. It tells you more about hell that it's trying to keep you out of than it does about heaven. Did you know that? Babies don't know about the beautiful colors of red and green and blue and yellow, etc. But they're alive. They're alive. I don't care what the abortion crowd says, abortion crowd. They don't know what the mountains look like or that great rolling ocean. And mamas might take them down to the ocean, but they don't know about it. They're isolated from that, the outside world, just like we're isolated from heaven. I believe in angels. I even believe there's angels standing around in here, but I don't see them. I also believe probably the devil or one of his imps is sitting on the front seat. I'm serious now. I believe this. Amen. Little babies in their mother's womb don't know about the many animals, the birds, the fishes. And yet those things are real, aren't they? But the baby don't know it. Just like we don't know what all's going on in heaven. But it's going on there, folks. This world you and I live in, an unborn baby does not know that it exists at all. Now you and I have been born, and all of our life we're going to be experiencing new things, new experiences, seeing new things, hearing new things. King David tells us of the secret development of life in a mother's womb. I believe I read it the other day, but I want to read it again for this thought today. In Psalms 139, turn in your Bible. This also ought to be marked in your Bible. Beginning at verse 13, David describes how he was formed in his mother's womb. And folks, this is very interesting to me. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb, David said. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Think about your body. Think about all the members of your body, your eyes, your nose, your ears, your tongue, your toes, etc., your organs. And all of these is needed to make you a whole person, right? None of us would want to even give up a little toe. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, David said. And curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. See, he's being formed. A baby has to develop. That's amazing. That's a mystery, isn't it? Did you know only God can do that, folks? Did you know only God can do that? Only God can give life. Amen? And in thy book, all my members are written. God's got a record of all of us, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. God already had it wrote out before he even brought us. You see, listen to me, church. You were planned. Did you know in the world there's a lot of, they call it accidental births or people born. We didn't plan on you. Hey, but God did. God plans on each person. Amen? There's no accidents with God. David said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. God loves every person so much, folks. It's so amazing how much God loves us sinners. Well, only the cross can fully declare how much God loves us by sending his only son to rescue us from our sin. Because every one of us is born a sinner. We came from a sinner. But God has a plan of salvation for all mankind. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen? Amen? When an unborn baby is born, it will soon learn of the hardships of life. First, the bright light it sees. The loss of being warm. The hunger for food. All the strange sounds, and seeing its mother for the first time. Can you imagine how shocking it must be to a newborn baby? It's left its home, and it's in a strange place. Is there any wonder it's squalling and bawling like you were? Amen. What a shocking experience it must be. Furthermore, they have no idea what a hard life is laying ahead for them either. A newborn baby is a little sinner entering into the world of good and evil. And I could look at that little one here today, and I can just imagine what all, if time goes on, how many times her heart's going to be broke or hurt. But they're precious, ain't they? You don't want the ones you love to hurt, but you're going to hurt. Because you're in a world of sin, a world of evil. You're actually in the devil's territory. So our point is we were all once in our mother's womb, and we did not know anything about the world we were going to be brought into. But now we're here. Got to deal with it now. I'm glad we got this book. I'm glad we got this book. We were once satisfied in the world where we were. But then suddenly we came rushing into a world of people. And I used to think when I was little that everybody was pretty good. But now I found out that there's a lot of mean people in this world. And you better not trust a lot of people. You better not. And if you're riding down the highway, let me make a suggestion. I'm talking to the men, too. You better lock your doors. Because they're sharp today. And lock your houses when you're in them. They're sharp today. They're fast. They're scheming. God already knows everything that will happen to you before you leave this world. He already knows. I like what God said about Jeremiah. I knew thee before I formed thee. And God loved him. God loved him. God personally formed you. I want you to think about you and God. God personally formed you. You're who you are because God wanted you like you are. And may I say to you, every one of you, that makes you important. That makes you important. The color of your eyes, your skin, your hair, everything about you, God personally was involved. He wanted you to be just like you are. You are a unique person. There's nobody like you anywhere. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine a God with such an imagination that he can make everyone in the world different and be the same at the same time? Ain't that amazing? We're all the same, but we're all different. You can see some people coming down the road and you can't make them out, but if you see them walking, you knew who they are, what a way to walk. John Wayne has got his walk, you know, he's got that. He deliberately made that walk for television and for the movies, the walk that John Wayne does. That's one of his trademarks. But you know, I used to see my uncle coming, and I could tell when my uncle was mad when I was a little boy. If he had his cap pulled to one side, that he was mad. You better be careful. In our mother's womb, we did not have any problems. But once we entered the world under the curse of sin, we began to have problems, and they will last with us until we leave this world. And I hope when you leave this world, you won't have problems. It depends on your decision. God has promised all those who will trust His Son as Savior, He will save them from their sins and give them a home in heaven forever. An eternal paradise. And our home is described in Revelation chapter 21, if you'll take time to read it. That's our home. That's the home of the bride of Christ, the church, our home. Boy, what a place that's going to be. I'm glad we ain't going to have to vacuum it. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He said that to those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you know on the cross God forsook His Son though? God turned His back on His own Son. Why? Because my sin was that bad. Hey, don't get all swelled up. Yours is just as bad. Sin is sin to God. God cannot look on sin. And when Jesus Christ took our sin upon Himself, God could not look. That's the reason the sun ceased to shine. The earth rocked with an earthquake. Sin was that awful to God. He judged sin, so we won't have to be judged. Isn't that awesome? That's the love of God and the grace of God. Because God don't want to judge anybody. The prophet said that judgment is God's strange work. He don't want to judge people. And He puts off as long as He can. But sometimes we force Him. Jesus said, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knoweth all that ye have need of all these things, in Matthew 6:31-32. I sit in my recliner and I look out and I see the squirrels walking about over the, hopping about over the yard. They're always finding something to eat. I see the birds. God always has them something to eat. If God can take care of those little, and they're all fat. Amen? They're all fat. God takes care of, God will take care of you. Amen. If you'll trust Him, amen. Trust Christ as your Savior. Live for Him. God's going to make a way for us. Because He's our Father. We're His children. When God formed Jeremiah in his mother's womb, He knew for what purpose the life of Jeremiah would be. He wanted him to be a prophet, to prophesy. That's the reason we have the book of Jeremiah and the book of Lamentations. Jeremiah wrote those two books. God had him to write them down, not just for that day, but for us today. There's prophecies in the book of Jeremiah that hasn't been fulfilled yet. They'll be fulfilled at the second coming of Christ. You know what? Before the second coming of Christ takes place, the rapture's going to take place 7 years before that. And I believe we're close. I believe we're close, folks. God had a plan for Jeremiah, just like He has a plan for your life. Do you ever think about the plan God has for you? Do you ever take time to think about what God might want with you? Be honest, I didn't think about that growing up. I didn't think that way. You might be different, but I didn't think that way. I thought I needed to go somewhere and just find me a job. Probably most people think that. Amen? Be honest. This is a truth that parents and ministers should stress over and over. Now listen to me carefully. I failed in this, and so did my parents, and most ministers fail at this. We need to strong teaching and encouragement to our children, to our church folks. We need to encourage and challenge, seek the Lord's will. Ask God what He wants with my life. I wish I could have got that into my mind when I was young. When I was graduating school, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had no earthly idea. I knew sitting in the English class, I would keep having this thought, the Lord, I sure ain't going to be no preacher. I mean, these other people talking about what they were going to do, and I keep saying to myself, well, I ain't going to be no preacher. You know what? God was already dealing with me, and I didn't have no sense. I'd be anything but a preacher. That's the way I felt then. You know what now? I wouldn't be anything less. I ain't no good at it, but I'm doing the best I can. Amen. Somehow we naturally think we should go to school and then get a job and do what we want to do. That's the way. But folks, we need to stress, children, congregation, go to the Lord. Lord, what's your plans for my life, Lord? I guess if I could live my life over, that's the one thing I would be strong at. If I had sense enough to know that, Brother Chavis. Lord, what in the world do you want me to do? What's your plan for my life? When I found out the plan for my life many years ago, I was the happiest people God ever made. I had found out what I was here for. There's nothing like knowing what you're here for. And God don't want everybody to be a preacher. God wants some of you to be good housewives, good husbands, good children, etc. I believe God has a specific plan for every life. Specific. That's the reason you have different and I have different talents. I think sometime with the talents we have, with our even realizing it, out of His goodness, God is guiding us to where He wants us. Think about that one. I mean, God just about had to kill me to get me to find out. God's plan was for, listen to this carefully. Are you listening to me? God's plan is for no one to fail. God don't want you to fail. And if we'll trust the Lord, we won't fail. If people would trust Him and follow His instruction, all people would be successful and have a blessed life. Now, that don't mean God's going to make you rich nor famous. It don't mean preachers are going to have big churches. It just means God wants you to be where He wants you to be at, doing what He wants you to do. He says that His word, be content with such things as ye have. Be satisfied with how God blesses you. Here is where I believe we fail. We just do not seek or ask God what He wants us to do with our life. Think about it. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is it you made me for? Here's some scriptures. I wrote a few out for us. In 1 Chronicles 16:11, maybe you want to write this down and look it up later. 1 Chronicles 16:11, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. In other words, Lord, I want you to show me what to do. What's your plan? What's your will? I want to please you, Lord. When I was a little boy, and all my life I desired to please my father, my earthly father. I want to please my heavenly father now. We ought to have that desire. Lord, I want to please you. What is it you want? I want to please you, God. That's really what matters in life, is pleasing God. Jesus said, I came to do my Father's will, not what I want. Psalms 14:2. The Lord, listen to this verse. Listen to this. Write this down. Psalms 14:2. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. Just imagine, God's looking down on the earth like this, see if anybody's interested in Him, His will. Boy, that's a verse, ain't it? Isn't that a verse? God's looking to see if anybody's interested in Him and His will. Psalms 105:4, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. In other words, don't ever quit seeking the will of God. The will of God for today won't be the same as it is for tomorrow. Amen? Isaiah 55:6. Oh, I love this verse. Isaiah 55:6, one of my favorites. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Boy, God's offering himself to all of us if we'll just call on him. You know when we want to call on the Lord? Look at me, everybody. You know when we want to call on the Lord? When we don't know what in the world to do. That's when we want to call on the Lord. When I don't know what to do, Lord. And it shouldn't be that way. But that's human nature. That's the way it was with me. When I got boxed in and I didn't know which way to go. When there was no way out. Thank God, God's a God of grace. Thank God, he's a God of grace. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, God charges parents to teach children about him. We live in a day when parents say, well, when my children get grown, they can decide if they want to go to church or not. I'll just let them decide. Hey, when you face God at the judgment, you're going to wish you'd had a different tune. Let me tell y'all something. Are y'all listening to me? These children are not yours. They're God's. All children are God's. And he entrusts them to you to teach them about him. And you can't get out of it. And I can't. Boy, it's going to be a sad day at the judgment when parents haven't taught their children. Deuteronomy 6, we get into verse 4. Hear, O Israel. God told this to Israel. And we got it in the Bible for us today. It's been there from the beginning, so we'd know. The Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them upon a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. Moses wrote to the children of Israel words from God. Teach children about God. Don't teach children religion, folks. A lot of parents are giving their children religion. God don't want you to have no religion. God wants you to have Christ. He's not a religion. He's a person. He's our Savior that would save us, that would die on a cross to rescue us. It's an awful sin to fail children, to fail to teach children about God. It's an awful sin because children are teachable when they're children. You wait till they get 12 to 13. You can't tell them nothing hardly. Some of them, not all. But you need to get it in them while they're young. parents do not realize they are charged with raising their children for the Lord. That's your job. Children are gifts from God entrusted to parents to teach them about God. We're going to have some children. Fine, but you better teach them about the Lord. Better teach them about the Lord. You're going to be held accountable. Have you told them about Jesus? And let me tell you something, parents. You can't teach them without you know the Lord yourself. You got to know the Lord yourself. God wants all people to live with Him forever. God wants everybody saved. God loves everybody as much as He loves you. I can't embrace that, but it's a true fact. Because I'm so important, I think. What about you? Don't you think the same way? But God loves everybody just alike. What an awesome God. Because Jesus Christ died for everybody. Children need to be taught by their parents that God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins. That Jesus makes it possible for us to be forgiven of our sin. And after this life, live in heaven forever. I doubt if there's any little children like that one that came up a while ago that you can't teach about Jesus and they believe it. Because their heart's young. Jesus says, suffer the little children to come to me. Jesus loves the little children. We used to sing a song when I was a young feller in the junior choir. We sang a song about Jesus loves the little children. I can't remember the words now. I bet my brother knows them, but I don't. It's also most important that parents live the Christian life. Let me say that again as I close. As a parent, you got to live a Christian life before your children. I believe I said last Sunday, I never heard my mom and daddy have an argument. Neither one ever used a bad word. I've never heard one of my brothers or sisters ever use a bad word. We didn't use that kind of talk at our house. We were raised in church. We walked to church. We went to the mule and wagon in the church. We pushed that 34 Chevrolet halfway to church, trying to get the battery to crank. We went to church. When they had church, we churched. Amen. And if it took all that for me, I know it takes it for everybody else. There's only one way for children to be saved. There's only one way. That's by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other Savior, no other way to be saved. The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with thy heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Salvation is by faith, not by anything you do. Jesus did it all on the cross. Everything is paid for now if we'll just believe in Him. What about someone here today? You need to trust Jesus as your Savior. Is there some changes that need to take place in your life? You know, that's what church is about. Come and hear God's Word and let God's Word speak to you. And then make the right changes in your heart, in your life. You have to make up your mind what you're going to do. I remember when I was smoking cigarettes for several years, I smoked cigarettes. I got up to 3 and 4 packs a day. Couple of cigars and a pipe. It was good. But you know, when I quit that same day. You can change your life by making a decision. You can turn from what's not you're not supposed to do and start doing what's right, because God will help you if you'll trust Him.